You're listening to TCRG to CEO Radio with your host, Courtney J., TCRG.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to TCRG to CEO Radio. As usual, I'm your host, Courtney J., TCRG, coming at you from Connecticut. And this episode is a little bit of a part two of episode 32, which you would have heard last week, all about my studio growth story. And as a reminder, you can follow me over on Instagram so you get some real-time updates at CourtneyJ_TCRG. And we would love to have you in our listeners-only Facebook group, which you can find in the show notes, or you can go to facebook.com/groups/TCRG2CEO. Just make sure you fill out the questions so that I know you're not a weirdo and that you are a fellow Irish dance enthusiast. So I was listening back to the episode you heard last week, and I was editing it, and all I could think about is how I omitted how my advertising strategies had changed over the 5 years. I kind of touched on the early days, but I didn't go too much in depth with years 2 through 5, or 3 to 5, really. And I wanted to make sure that I came back and touched on that, because that's definitely something that comes up a lot in my DMs and my question boxes that I post for Small Business Saturday. That is one thing that you will get to see if you follow me over on Instagram. I do little question theme boxes so that you get some questions answered every week and not just waiting for the podcast. And a couple people on Instagram had a lot of advertising questions. So I figure we'll make this addendum, hopefully that's the right way to say it, to last week's episode, and also address some of the advertising questions that you guys had anyway. So I put a little outline together based on the questions that you guys provided and the information that I wish I had provided on last week's episode to put this one together for you. All right, so let me preface this by saying that while I did have some business classes under my belt and I did think I had an understanding of marketing when I started my studio, I have learned so much in the time from when I started to now, and I continue to learn and seek out more information every week, every day. I'm usually listening to something business related, and inevitably there will be marketing content that comes up in that. So my best advice to anyone who's learning kind of that they need to advertise, because it did come up that some people weren't advertising at all, and that is just definite studio suicide. Where should you start? And my advice to you would be to figure out who your customer is. And a lot of people in their heads might be like, well, my customer is everyone. Every kid can Irish dance. And while we know that is true, your studio needs to appeal to a particular archetype of child and their parent. And you can create what that is based on the customer that you wish to serve. So let me just take you through two quick examples off the top of my head. Let's just say that you have a customer who is a busy mom. Maybe she has 3 or 4 kids, really is looking for something to do to occupy, you know, one or more of those kids' time. And maybe they're in lots of activities. So maybe your business model speaks to this customer because you have super flexible class terms, or maybe it's pay as you go, or maybe it's drop in or something like that, or maybe you have a really deep student discount or something. Obviously, the same type of parent is not going to want to come to my school, for example, where I really focus on honoring commitment and structure and making sure that the customers value my time and input as well. So my marketing wouldn't necessarily speak to that customer, whereas maybe the first example, that studio would tailor their marketing message to mentioning the benefits that would appeal to that type of mom. So for me, I kind of touched on what my mission is and how that impacts what customer I attract. But my customer is mainly moms, as opposed to dads or grandparents or people that might be seeking classes. And my customer is also tech savvy, and they gather information online, and they don't necessarily have to be spoon-fed everything, and they are willing to receive information electronically. They are used to operating online and making online payments, for example, and availing of like set it and forget it payment services and things like that. And I kind of touched on the type of student that I'm looking for and how that impacts their parent or how I would speak to that parent. So figuring out who you're actually looking to serve is the most crucial thing that you can do before you can even implement any of these marketing strategies. Because if you're not sure who your customer is, you won't know where they're hanging out, so to say. Because you want to know where your customer is hanging out online, if they're online, and in real life. So my busy mom example, maybe she's not even on Facebook, or maybe she hardly looks at things online. And maybe she spends most of her time in real life in her car because she's always shuttling kids to different activities. Or when she's home, maybe she just wants to sit in a quiet room and isn't, you know, going out and meeting friends for coffee, you know, in the couple minutes she has to herself every day. Whereas maybe a working mom spends time at work, obviously, but maybe on their lunch break they are hanging out online, or maybe they're in different parent groups on Facebook, or maybe they're an Instagram mom because those are popping up more and more now too. You can see where I'm going with this. And if you're dead set on using one marketing strategy, but your customer isn't hanging out there, then ultimately you're going to be disappointed with the results. So it's very, very important that you know who your customer is and where they are most likely to see the information that you're putting out there, seeing the message that you're putting out there. So while I did have a customer in mind when I opened my studio, I wasn't clear on where they were hanging out. And I touched on how I had run a newspaper ad early on because that just seemed like a thing to do. But what I didn't consider is that most people reading our local newspaper, that's not like it was a big one, is that there wasn't an online edition. And most of the people that were reading it were probably an older generation. So if anything, I should have been marketing my adult classes in that newspaper ad, not my beginner classes for ages 5 to 12. And this is something where, again, the problem isn't necessarily with the marketing method. It's just that it's appealing to or not appealing to the right customer, or the right customer is not going to see it. Maybe on the off chance that grandma or grandpa clipped it out of the newspaper and sent it along, maybe I would have gotten somebody. But honestly, marketing has to be as direct to consumer as possible. People are really busy nowadays. They're definitely not gonna take the time to do something like that. Whereas maybe, you know, 20 years ago when I was dancing, maybe it would have worked. Now, I also mentioned my lawn signs in the last episode, and to be honest, I have no idea what possessed me to make lawn signs of all things, but I think it's because it was a brand new business in town, and I figure that sometimes I'm driving around, I spend a lot of time in my car too, I'll be driving somewhere that I pass all the time, and all of a sudden I'll see a banner or a sign or something that makes me look and go, oh wow, that opened up there? Cool, I'll have to go check it out. And I think I was just hoping that the same thing might happen for me. And that did happen. And it's a tricky thing to do. I did it for location A and location B. And if you're not sure what I'm talking about, make sure you go back and listen to last week's episode first. Location A, the one closer to my town where I lived, had super strict lawn sign rules, so they had to come down as fast as they went up. So another word of caution is to make sure you look at your towns, or at least the town you're doing business in, making sure that you look at their legislation in regards to lawn signs. Some are stricter than others, and it just so happened that location A's local town ordinances did not allow for lawn signs. They lasted much longer in location B, and it did have some effect, and I still have some of them, and they do come out to play here and there when we need some signage at events and everything. But ultimately, I think it's a little bit of a shot in the dark, and it's hard to measure your outcome too, because you have no idea how many people drive by it. Obviously, there's a chance that in, you know, if it's on a busy road, there's going to be people that drive by it that are looking for your services, and there's going to be people that drive by it that couldn't care less. And you're kind of rolling the dice, whereas some of the other marketing strategies that I'll mention have a little bit easier to measure results. Now, some constants that have been around since the early days and are really just, I guess, like brand awareness, and even if they're not conscious marketing methods, they're constant things in the background that just kind of make sure that people know that you do exist. And that is my website and my social media accounts for the school. And it's hard to believe that a school wouldn't have a website in 2019, almost 2020. But I have been surprised. Some don't, or some just have a Facebook page. And I would definitely recommend having a website and a couple social media channels that your school uses that your parents are also on. Because if your parents are hanging out on Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, YouTube, whatever it is, chances are that similar customers to them are also hanging out there. So it's all well and good having an Instagram account, and maybe the kids follow it, but if none of the parents are following it and none of the parents' friends are likely to see it, then it's not really going to be a great marketing method for you. And the other thing about having a website is just do the minimum work to keep it up to date and at least looking current. It's amazing how many websites I see from time to time that look like they were made in 1995 and haven't been updated since. And I know back then it was harder to have a website. You either needed to know how to code or you needed to hire like a web developer or a like website engineer, but you don't need to do that now. You can very easily do it yourself and not expensively, and it's not time consuming either. So if you have a website, just make sure it looks like a website that should be up and running in late 2019. And that'll go a long way with your customers as well, because it just looks like you're a current, alive, thriving business. All right, so hopping into year two, I would say the changes that I made, or enhancements or additions, I guess, were I improved the search engine optimization of my website. I started to see it more as a marketing method or how to send traffic to that website versus it just being a parked asset that I wasn't really using unless somebody stumbled upon it. And the other thing that I did was we had more public appearances in year two, just because it's hard to do public appearances in year one when you don't really have a lot of students and a lot of them are brand new. So getting out there in front of the public is another thing that's mostly brand awareness. And I'll get into how you can kind of leverage the opportunity a little bit later on. But we were definitely more visible out in the community, and I did a lot of handouts with information on either the school or classes or programs that we had coming up. And the only trouble with handouts is that while people that are very, very interested will, you know, stop and take notice, a lot of people will just throw them away. And a lot of times they won't even wait until they're out of the building to throw them away. They'll just throw them away. They'll take them, but then they throw them out. So there is definitely a better way to generate traffic to your business without doing handouts. Because the trouble with that too is that it's in their hands instead of yours, and you want it to be in your hands. So both of those, the SEO improvements and the appearances, definitely helped. And year three is where I really started to hone in on what was working and what our strengths were. So year three, I learned how to do Facebook ads. So not boosted posts or anything like that, like the actual like behind the scenes business manager Facebook ads. It is not easy, and it took a lot of learning and a lot of tweaking and trial and error. And ultimately, I ended up outsourcing this to a team member. But in the beginning, I learned how to do it myself. I did them all myself and managed them all. And this is something that for me, it was something that was worth testing. And when I had the results, I was happy with them. It was easy to track. And since then, I've just honed in on it and improved it over time. And now I have someone who manages it so that it's one less job I need to work on throughout the week. And I also had always kept a database of potential customers or people I had interacted with in email or at events or over the phone. And I really honed in on email marketing during that year. And at public appearances, I started a lead box instead of handouts. So we talked about how handouts are not great because the customer can just throw them away and then you don't have a way of reaching them again. So now what we do is we collect their information so that we can add them to our email list, and then they receive regular updates and offers and things from us. And a lot of times we'll have customers that maybe we met them a year ago and then all of a sudden they're signing up for something. So it lets them get to know us. It lets me kind of keep in touch with them as I need to. And it is something that generates sales way into the future. And you just never know. I also tested online directory. So we have something called HulaFrog. I believe it's nationwide in the US, but it's definitely in the New England and like Northeast area. And it's a website that keeps track of different kids' activities and kind of collates them, and you can do sponsored, I guess like sponsored ads, I don't know what else to call them, where you have like a banner ad at the top so that when the page loads, you know, they see whatever you have, or down the side. Hopefully you can picture what I'm talking about. And since this is a website that's geared towards moms that are tech savvy, they're finding it online. They also have email blasts and things like that. I figured, yeah, sure, this is worth a try. The like franchisee of our local branch is someone that I knew from her kids coming in and trying the class and everything like that. So I figured, yeah, definitely. And my marketing philosophy has always been, I will always try everything once, at least once. And if it doesn't give me the results that I'm looking for, then at least I can say I've tried it and tested it and it wasn't for us. So this one was one that was not for us. The results were surprisingly disappointing, and the franchisee actually ended up refunding me the advertising cost because it was such a fail. And to this day, still not sure exactly what the problem was, why it didn't work, but who knows? A lot of the metrics and things like that are out of my control too. I don't know how much site traffic they have and what their demographic breakdown is. So something to try, because again, it's always worth a try, but it didn't work for me personally. And we also got invited to our state kids fair during year three. And this was something where it's a weekend event in the winter where families are looking for things to do inside. It's at our big convention center, and there's all different exhibitors and vendors and things like that. And I had a booth for the 2 days and could talk to people, collect leads, and I had some handouts available too, but we always collected their information. And then we got to do demos on a stage so that they could kind of see what it was. They could see some of our dancers and what it was like kind of through the levels and the ages. And this is something that I still do. We just did our second or third one. I can't even remember now. I guess it was our third one, year three, four, and five. Wow. And it has always been at least enough of a result to keep going back, which is always good. So from year four to now, I kind of improved my core three marketing methods that are always ongoing, which was the Facebook ads, email marketing, and lead boxes. And on top of those, I worked out a schedule for including different other methods that have been proven to yield results at different times. And I'll get into a lot of different examples in a little bit. And the disclaimer that I want to make on all of this marketing stuff that we're talking about is that we all have slightly different customers. We all run slightly different businesses in the way that they're structured, what our missions are, just how we operate. So just because those core three work for me doesn't necessarily mean that they are absolutely guaranteed to work for you. Think about like if you were an adult-focused studio. Maybe you have younger adults that are on Facebook, but maybe older adults aren't. So Facebook ads might not have a good return for you. Same with a lot of people say that email marketing is on its way out, but I think it depends on who you're trying to attract and how frequently you're trying to contact them, things like that. So just always keep in mind that just because they're working for me, maybe they will work for you and that would be awesome, but they might not. And you do have to try and test different methods to see what works for you. And another question I got asked on Instagram was, how big of a reach should you be advertising to? As in, how far are new families willing to drive? You know, should you be advertising in a 20-mile, 45-minute radius? Should you be focusing on, around the block? And this is something that's hard to answer because every location will have its different outcomes with this. It depends if you live in a large city with lots of traffic. It depends if you live in a very rural area where there aren't a lot of activities and people know that they have to drive further to get to the things that they want. So there is no one answer on this. The best thing you can do is look at where your current families are coming from. And if they're all from the same place, then you kind of have your answer because all the customers you're trying to attract should be very similar to your audience that you have now or the customers that you have now. On Facebook ads, it's actually called a lookalike audience. So if you're trying to attract new customers, look at your current customers first because that'll tell you kind of where to direct things. Whereas if you look and they're from 50 different towns, then you can kind of set up your mileage radius based on that. So that's my advice with that one. Now, when you're putting ads together or you're putting marketing strategies together, this is something that you should be doing all year round. Marketing doesn't die in October because the classes started in September. You have to be directing traffic to somewhere all year long and trying to reach people all year long. And you'll want to set up an ad budget based on what kind of campaign you're running, how long it's running, what you are able to spend. And you want to keep track of how many leads are generated from this campaign. So maybe you get 40 people opt in for something or send you an email or send you whatever it is you're looking for. And then you're also going to want to track how many of those leads actually come through your door because not everyone that contacts you is going to come through the door. It's just inevitable. People cancel, people no-show, people change their minds. So although it's exciting to get people to contact you, don't get too attached to them until they actually come through the door because some people just will never make it. The other thing you want to track is the customers that convert into paying students or registered students or whatever you want to call it. And this number, the number of customers that actually enrolled over your leads generated, the number of people that contacted you in the first place, will give you your student acquisition cost if you break it out over your ad budget. So let's just say of those 40 people that contacted you, 4 of them actually enroll. So as quick math, that's 10% actually enrolled. And let's just say that you spent $500 on this campaign. Could have been anything, and I'll list some examples in a few minutes. That would be a student acquisition cost of $125. Now, you might be listening to this going, wow, that's really expensive. And it is very expensive, but let's just say that your tuition cost for the whole year is $750, for example. If every student is paying $750 and your student acquisition cost is $125, you're still making $625 off of those 4 students, which is a grand total of $2,500. So sure, you spent $500, but you're also making $2,500. So at the end of the day, you can't not advertise. You do have to spend money to make money, And the only thing you want to make sure you're doing is investing your money wisely and not spending big bucks on an untested advertising strategy. And just to give you some examples of different marketing strategies you can use, I'll divide them into two groups, online marketing and offline marketing, because offline marketing definitely isn't dead yet. You have a lot of different competition and traffic online, so having some offline options is nice to cut through the noise. So the online examples that I'll give, and this is not meant to be a comprehensive list by any means, are your website and optimizing it, directory listings like we talked about, local ones, and there's also making sure that you have a Google and Google Maps listing, an Apple Maps listing, going to your kind of kid-centric directories for your area. You can run paid ads. You can do this through AdWords, which is Google. I'm sure the other search engines have their own as well. Facebook ads, YouTube ads. I mean, there's tons of places to put paid ads. Email marketing, like we touched on. Social media, again, as like a passive brand awareness type of thing. And content marketing, which is things that you're putting out there, like blog posts or, videos. Things that are not in and of themselves salesy, but kind of show the culture and vibe of your studio. So just a couple for online. Offline examples, you can do public appearances like we talked about, and I'm sure everybody has public appearances around St. Patrick's Day, if not throughout the year. Press releases are a good way to get yourself in the newspaper from time to time, because you're not typically paying for them. Then we have lead boxes, which we kind of talked about. You can do partnerships with other local businesses. So let's just say you have a hair salon next door, and I'm pulling this completely out of thin air. Maybe you strike up a deal with them where if moms come in during class time, they save 10% at the hair salon, and the hair salon is willing to put your marketing materials in their waiting area or something. And maybe that there's a reciprocal discount that you give if they mention the hair salon, something like that. Again, totally off my head, not well thought out. So maybe think on that one before you swipe it. Joining local memberships and bureaus. And not only is there some marketing benefits for this, there's also a lot of reciprocation and potential for networking or like partners in this. Displays, which I'm kind of grouping into, like, you ever picture those like mall scrolling boards, or, you know, obviously we all know billboards, not one I'd particularly recommend, but different signage displays. Those are offline strategies you can use. There's also direct mail, and I know a lot of us get a lot of junk mail. I personally don't want to receive anything in the mail, like not even bills, like everything's online. Don't send me anything in the mail, which reminds me, like, don't ever send me anything in the mail, because I don't check my mailbox that often. But some people do, and some people have to. So depending on who your customer is, direct mail might be a good way to reach them. You can do printed materials with an offer, an ad. We kind of talked about some of the hazards of handouts, but if they have something useful on them, then maybe people are more likely to keep them. And you can also do giveaway, like freebie promotional items. I mean, we've all picked up like pens from our local favorite businesses, or maybe you have, I don't know, trinkets, keychains, something that you give away so that people remember you. And then, of course, you have referrals, which is kind of internal marketing and kind of incentivizing people to spread your name through word of mouth. So, I mean, I didn't count how many that was, but I mean, there's plenty to choose from there. And don't think that you have to do them all, because a few of them done really well is so much better than all of them done badly. So it's preferable to kind of test and see which ones are your standouts. Obviously, to know which ones are your standouts, you'll have to measure your results. And on all of our forms, we have a, like, how did you hear about us section so that if we missed any, we're able to track them that way too. And go all in on maybe three of them. And then, like I said, I kind of do a sprinkling of others throughout the year, but my core three are always in action. And before I close this episode off, I just want to touch on a critical mistake that I see a lot. Just even scrolling Facebook or, you know, we all follow different dance schools pages and Instagram accounts and things like that. And not to say that this is the only advertising that they're doing, so it's not as if I'm criticizing their marketing strategy as a whole, but it's something I want to caution listeners on because I see it a lot and I'm afraid that it is something that creeps into general marketing strategy, is that I see a lot of people marketing just Irish dance. And what I mean by that is it's like, come try Irish dance. It's fun. And the problem with that is that's great for all of us. That's great for the rest of us that you're encouraging people to do Irish dance, but you're not marketing your studio. You're not marketing Irish dance with you. What's so special about taking Irish dance classes at your studio as opposed to mine or, you know, somebody else's? So when you're putting your marketing campaigns together and you're getting clear on what your marketing message is, make sure that it includes what is unique to your studio and addresses some benefits that your ideal customer wants to have in a studio. And the other side thing that I see on this, like if a studio has actually gone through that little bit of extra effort to make a marketing message, sometimes I see some word for word copying out there. And the thing about that is like, yes, it looks like you did the work, but if the message isn't authentic to what your studio is, you're going to have all these people come in the door and what they're going to experience may not match what you've written. And ultimately, your conversion rate is going to be very low, which is going to be, I don't know, it's going to let the wind out of your sails. And that's not really fun. You know, like, what's the point of getting excited about all these leads because they've, you know, been attracted to some type of marketing message that wasn't actually yours? You're just kind of setting yourself up for disappointment. And we all have different things that are unique to us and unique to our studios and our missions and how we operate. And it would be really awesome if everybody could celebrate what is unique about them instead of trying to all blend together, you know, based on what the latest studio is doing or something that somebody saw somewhere and, you know, wanted to implement it for themselves. Because at the end of the day, there is room for all of us and we all have different approaches, and that's what's great, and that's what inevitably will get the masses involved with Irish dance, and we don't all have to be giving the product the same way. So really think about what your marketing message can say about you, things that are authentic to your studio, and celebrate that, sing it from the rooftops, and the right people will come to you. So just wanted to close out. Hopefully people are still listening, because honestly, that's probably the most important thing for the entire episode. But until next time, this has been TCRG to CEO Radio. We have some awesome episodes coming up with some awesome guests, and I can't wait for you to hear the rest of season 3. Have a wonderful week, everyone, and we will talk to you soon.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time on TCRG to CEO Radio.